our faith, ever ancient, yet ever new. Very beautiful. Just give you a little bit of homework for the next couple of weeks. Christmas season isn't actually very long. It actually starts today, and it goes all the way through the baptism of Jesus, which is probably the second weekend of January. Next couple of weeks. You'll know it's still the Christmas season because you'll still see poinsettias here on the altar in the sanctuary. So every day for your homework, I want you to read the gospel we heard today, which is the prologue of the Gospel of John, the first part. It is very, 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 very rich and deep, and explains in a very real way what our faith is all about. Our God has created us from the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. As time had passed, we had fallen into sin. Darkness had entered the world. Jesus took upon our flesh. The light came into the world that we may be saved. And the darkness could not overcome it. The light of Christ stays and continues to shine. The light of our faith. Something definitely very ancient and old, yet something very new and real and life-giving. We also hear, how do we become part of this story? It was through your baptism. Through our baptism into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we take upon the divinity of our Heavenly Father. We become His children. So today we celebrate God entering into our reality so that we may enter into His reality, that we may be eternal, that we may be divine, that we may follow His way, that we may love and be loved, that we too may live in this light. We don't have to stay in the darkness, brothers and sisters. We can move into the light. This last week, it was, you know, a full week, but it was very beautiful. I got to hear confession every day last week. Monday was at St. William's, Tuesday was at St. Patrick's in Hutto, Wednesday was at St. William's again, Thursday here, Friday twice here, Saturday again here. And it was beautiful to see so many people set free, to be able to come out of the darkness into the light of their faith, recognizing that there is truly something here. There's something that they can receive. Their baptism is real. We're not meant to live in sin. We're not meant to live in the brokenness. We enter into it, and we invite the Lord to bring His light, to give us hope and understanding. So as we enter into this beautiful Christmas season, there's just like to speak about a couple of things. Number one is images. I think images are very powerful, right? They say a picture is worth a thousand words as you look at them and reflect upon them. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the beautiful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and her image is here in the church in the back. And if you look at it closely, haven't looked at it in a while, the Blessed Mother Mary, she has rays coming out from behind her because she's standing in front of the sun. And if you look at the bottom of it, behind the flowers, the poinsettias and the roses there, you'll see her standing on the moon. When Mary appeared to Juan Diego and the Aztec people in Mexico around 1534, many of them worshipped the sun and the moon, particular false gods. Mary comes between us and everything that distracts us or keeps us from her son, Jesus Christ. Mary is with child. She comes and stands in front of the sun and above the moon, showing that her son, the child in her womb, is more powerful and life-giving and is the true God. We also have the image of the manger scene, which it's always very beautiful to look at and to see. And I'm always kind of amazed with all the different styles and types of manger scenes. I had a friend who collected them, so I had a manger scene from all different kind of countries from around the world. And they were kind of unique and kind of interesting, and some of the little figurines actually looked like the nationality of those particular people. And my parents had a manger scene, and they got it. They were married on January the 12th, so right after Christmas. So somebody gave them a manger scene as a wedding gift, and it was from Sears and Roebuck. So hopefully some of you still remember what that is. and it was a neat little manger scene. It had all the figurines, and my mom would put it out, and she would tell my sister and I who the different characters were, right? Who is Mary? Who Who is Joseph? Baby Jesus, the shepherds, the kings, bigger gifts that they were holding in their hands, the animals, why they were in a barn, the star, the angels, what everything meant. It was kind of neat. Of all the different things that were set up for Christmas, the manger scene always was very special. And it had a very important spot, right? It was in the credenza right below the TV. You see the TV in the manger scene. So anyway. But it's this, how God enters into our reality, right? And how we allow him to enter into our reality. Again, something very ancient, but yet something that could be, that is very new. It is very real and very life-giving. The other day I was at somebody's house, and this is probably the most interesting manger scene I've ever seen. They had a collection of ornaments that were s'mores. So it was a graham cracker, and it was a piece of chocolate, and then marshmallows. Well, Joseph was 3 marshmallows, St. Mary was 3 marshmallows, and baby Jesus was 3 little bitty marshmallows. So probably the most interesting manger scene I've ever seen. But again, this reality that enters into our life, where we are at. A lot of times as I prepare for a homily, I always like to, well, before I say that, with the manger scene, what I encourage you to do, I hope that you leave it up for the season. If you take everything else down in your house, leave your manger scene up until the end of the Christmas season for the next 2.5 weeks. I would encourage you, tell somebody about that manger scene. Even if you think that they already know what it is, talk about the manger scene and maybe what it means to you and what piece you like the most and why. And if you have any little children around, I would encourage you to invite them to tell you what the manger scene means to them. Out of the mouth of babes, it's always neat to hear a child's perspective. Let them tell you what the pieces mean and what's going on in that particular story. So the second thing that I want to touch on today is, many times as I prepare for homilies, I always like to first start off by asking God, Lord, what do you need, what do your people need to hear? What do you want me to say? What is on the heart of the congregation that I would be speaking to this morning? And particular things will come to me, and usually, most times, I will always hear what I believe to be God saying, tell them that I love them. Particular question that I haven't necessarily asked in this particular way is, how do we know that we are loved? What are the particular things that we look for? How do we recognize and know that somebody else loves us, cares about us, wants to enter into our own life? How do we know that somebody loves us? Maybe one of the most powerful things that I thought of in this particular reflection that came to me was, somebody's not afraid to enter into our reality, is not afraid to enter into our suffering. We as humans are messy. Life that we live in is messy. Many tragedies and particular things that have happened. Maybe some of you have lost loved ones over the last year. Maybe it's the first Christmas without a loved one. Maybe some of you have been diagnosed with cancer, with other particular illnesses. Maybe there too has been a divorce or a separation or struggles in your family. Maybe there is a loss of a job, maybe failing out of college or school or struggled in school, struggles in high school. Maybe addictions. Maybe other particular things that have entered into. And sometimes this causes us to kind of close in on ourselves, to turn away from other things that might bring forth this reality. But maybe we recognize that people who do love us are ones who are not afraid to enter into that reality. They pray for us. They check in on us. They let us know that they are with us. Maybe they let us know they can't solve or fix the problem, but they're going to walk with us, and they're going to stay with us. God enters into our reality. He doesn't want us to catch up to him or fix our lives so it's perfect like he is. God enters into our human state, into our own flesh. He becomes a little child, vulnerable, to be cared for by 2 human parents, Mary and Joseph. How can we continue to allow the Lord to enter into our own suffering, into our own daily life and daily routine? God wants to walk with us. He's not way ahead of us. He's not checking a list to see how we're doing. He wants to be part of our reality. He wants to love us and to pour his love into us and continue to give us his grace and strength and comfort. So as you go throughout these next few days, I just would encourage you maybe also to reflect on, how do you know that you are loved? And once you know that you are loved, how do you respond? If we know that we are loved by God truly, then hopefully there's a desire in your heart to come to know Him who loves you, right? If people enter into your suffering and you notice that they enter into your life, then you talk to them. They listen to you. You listen to them. A relationship begins. If you recognize that God loves you and you recognize that, then begin a relationship with Him. Continue to grow in a relationship with Him. Pray. Study. Come to Mass. Continue to encounter Him in fellowship and in friends. Continue to know our Savior Jesus Christ. I also hope that too, once you become, you know that you're loved, I hope you become more comfortable with yourself. I know the older that I've gotten, I've become more comfortable in my own skin, because I recognize my identity is not by my accomplishments or success or anything else in life, but it's because that I'm loved. I'm made in God's likeness and image, and He has created me with different gifts and talents. And I think so much of our life is lost of trying to be something else, trying to be something that we think that other people want us to be or the world wants us to be. True peace, true joy is when we actually are comfortable enough to be the person that God has made us and recognize that's the person that God loves. That's the person that God wants us to be. That's the person that God is trying to bring out of us, that we truly may become Him. Let go of sin, let go of our brokenness, seek forgiveness, and live in this light that has entered into our world, that the darkness was not able to overcome. This light is still alive in your own heart. May you see it, may you engage it, and may you continue to receive the love that only God can give, and the peace that only can come from God. Continue to pray for you as you continue on this journey, as we all are journeying back to heaven, to be with God who has created us, who has redeemed us, who has forgiven us, and who continues to love us more than we could ever imagine. May this be your gift this Christmas season, God's love to you. And that love isn't new, but maybe what will be new is your recognition of that love and of Him with you in your daily life.